Happy New Year. You believe that year just went by, didn't it? Like somebody stole part of it. You know, Eddie was talking about inclement weather, difficult weather here. So once it gets down below 60, you folks start to cover up. You know, I lived in Michigan for a better part of my life, 38 years there, and I know what it's like to have bad weather. And every winter I resigned. Didn't do any good, but it was cold. I want you to look at a passage of scripture with me this morning from a little different angle, perspective possibly. The 10th chapter of the book of Romans. I forget who was talking. I was talking to someone and they were talking to others, and we were talking about the difficulty there is in sharing our faith. There are a lot of reasons for it that make it a difficult proposition. I want to talk to you about a different take on that responsibility. I think that it'll encourage you, it'll help you. It's helped me. When you change your focus from what for so long the church has demanded almost to what the Bible says is the real responsibility, it makes a big difference. So, 10th chapter, book of Romans, and I'll just give you a simple outline. Number one, in verses 8 through 13, there's a divine message. God gives us a message, and that message goes to the world, goes around the world. Aren't you thankful for the gospel? Then there's a divine question that's posed. Chapter 10 and verse 14. And then Romans chapter 10 and verse 15. We come to a viewpoint that says that our concern should be a divine appointment. A divine appointment. Now, people give all kinds of reasons why they don't go to tell others about Christ. The word used is soul winning. How many have ever heard that word? Soul winning. There have been for years ideas, programs, ministry involvement that would bring the church together to go soul winning. And that is to give the gospel out. And we are reminded, or have been reminded for years, if you've been saved any length of time at all, that it is your absolute responsibility. We're not to shirk it. Now, how many know that it is our responsibility to share the gospel? Don't have to raise your hand. How many know that? You can shake your head if it doesn't work, and, you know, so. It is our responsibility. Okay, if it's our responsibility, then why don't we do it? Well, there are a lot of reasons. And let me just give you three. I think that you'll pick up on right away. Number one, because we're fearful. It's hard to go to talk to somebody about this. People want, they say, I keep my my religion personally or my Christianity personally. I don't want to offend someone else. And so that's between them and God. Well, that's true. That is between them and God. But if nobody ever tells them, they're never going to know. But there is a fear factor involved. Going up to someone you've never met before, or someone, even a neighbor you know, or a member of the family that you're acquainted with, that's hard to do. There is a fear involved. We have a fear, I think, of inadequacy. I'm not adequate to the task. That affects us. Amen? You're fearful of the question they're going to ask. What if they ask a question I don't know how to answer? So there's that fear. There's a fear of dialogue. When I think of that, I think of the fact that you get into a conversation with some, and there's a dialogue that is taken up, and it can go many different ways. Amen. And you then are put under the pressure, I think, sometimes, to have to make it go a certain way. So there's this fear. And then I think fear of what other Christians may think. Why isn't she doing it? Why isn't he doing it? Why are they doing it? There's a fear of that. And so there is a difficulty in this responsibility we have to be missionaries sharing the faith. So why don't we often speak up? Well, number one, because we fear. Number two, because we feel pressured. I went to a church and was a member there, associate pastor there for 7 years. And the pastor used to, every Sunday morning, right after we opened with the first song, he had asked everybody to stand. And that's when we greeted one another. Then he would have them sit down. Then he would say, we have soul winning on Tuesdays, every Tuesday. And if you're a teacher, Sunday school worker, choir member, a deacon, an elder, any office holder, stand up. They stood up. He said, every one of you are obligated to go and tell people about Christ. If you don't go, you're failing our church, you're failing God, and you're going to damage the cause of Christ. And so by the time he was done, the pressure to show up was unbelievable. I mean, everybody was concerned. I mean, we're overwhelmed by it. So a lot of people showed up, but they didn't do much of anything. So it's kind of like how many have ever been out to make a visit, and you're scared to death. You don't want to go there. There's one light on. You don't know they will go to the door at night. You know, they could think you're an axe murderer and shoot your feet off or something, you know, so... So you walk up the pathway, you get to the door, and you go like this. They must not be home. I'll try one more time. And you're praying, pleading with God that nobody shows up to that door. And these are realistic things. That happens. There is a pressure that's created by, I think wrong information. It's created by a older philosophy of church growth that I think has fallen by the wayside. So number one, because of fear. Number two, because of pressure. And then number three, because we usually, in fact, I'd say most of the time, view this responsibility as a duty. It's my responsibility. You know, the song, Rescue the Perishing, duty demands it. So now it becomes a duty. There is a problem with that philosophy. When you think that everything in the Christian life is your duty, then you're serving God out of performance, not out of love. There's a difference. Performance said, I have to do what I have to do, and I have to do what I have to do, what I have to do. It's my duty. And the more I do, the more God will love me. The more God loves me, the better off I am. So I'll do more. And that's entirely wrong. It's a bad philosophy of life. So there's this situation, and it creates a difficulty for anybody that believes it's their responsibility. So what do we do? Well, number one, look at this divine message in verses 8 through 13. The Bible says, but what saith it? That is, what do the scriptures say? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is, the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt, listen to this, here's the message. Here's the message, it's clear cut. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's a message. And it's good for anybody. You don't need a PhD to understand that message. That message can change lives. In fact, it goes on to say that if for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto them that call upon him. So the gospel is for everybody. It's the message of grace. And folks, we need to share it. But how do we do that? If we are constantly pressured or feel pressure, if we are fearful, if that's hazardous for us, if it's hard for us to do these things, then how do we, if we only view it as a duty, then how do we come to the point, and this is important, how do we come to the point that we change our viewpoint and apply a Bible method to doing it that will change your attitude about doing what you should do, and it'll become a desire out of love rather than out of performance, all God's people said. So you will want to do it. So number one, there's this wonderful message. And the message is as plain as it can be. It works every time. You don't have to wonder what it's saying. It's not about going to church. It's not about being a good person. It's not about turning over a new leaf. It's about a change in relationship with God Almighty in the person of Jesus Christ. So number one, there's a message. Number two, there's a divine question. Look at the question. It's found in verse 14. Let me read verse 13 first. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, all God's people said. You believe that, don't you? If you've done that, you are saved. You don't have to jump through any hoops. Don't have to get baptized 11 times. You don't have to give money to church. You don't have to do any of those things. If you've received Christ as your Savior, he's come into your heart. You are a child of God. Absolutely. Now he asks a question. Here's God's question. He told us he had a message, amen? He even warned us about some of the difficulties. And we get down to verse 14, and all of a sudden God asks a question. It's the most heart-probing question he could have asked. Listen to what he says in verse 14. How then How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How are they going to do that? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? How are they going to do that? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? Underline that word, sent. It's the word apostello in the Greek. Two Greek words. One means to appoint. And the other one means a place or time or event or thing. So apostles were appointed for a particular purpose. That's why this word apostello is used to describe an apostle. Well, here it's used to describe the word sent. And it's saying here, that when we think sent, it's like going somewhere and getting something, doing something, finding out what I should do. But this is directly connected to something greater than you. In other words, you are being sent by someone else. Now that's different. Now you're not going by yourself. You're not going on your own. You're not doing this in your power. You are sent by God Almighty. And he says, how does that happen? How can they call? How can they believe? How can that happen? How will it happen? They have to be sent. Sent. And this word means appointment, all God's people said. Sent. To be at a particular place, at a particular time, not of your choosing, but of God's. All God's people said. Now, how does that work? About 8 years ago, I went to Guam to preach, do a family conference, and to see my son. He was an associate pastor in a church in Guam. And so we went over there to see him, and we spent a week with him. Then we decided that we would also, in what we were doing, going to do a week of services in Korea. So I had to fly to Guam, fly to Korea, fly back to Guam. And it's quite a flight. And so we flew to Korea, and I preached three times a day for 10 days. So I was tired. And I got back on the plane, and I basically had a conversation with God. Leave me alone. Don't wake me. Don't have anybody sit by me that's going to talk. I'm tired. So I thought that took care of it. Amen? Made it very clear to God how I felt. And the plane kept loading up. I hate that. And now there's only just one or two seats empty, and one of them's right by me, the outside aisle seat. And here comes a guy that's bigger than me. I mean, it was a big man. And he looked down at the seat. He looked at me. He looked down at the seat. He said, I think this is my seat. He sat down in that thing, took 1.5 seats. I mean, he sat on my left thigh. I mean, I was cramped in there big time. And I was getting agitated and angry and upset with God for doing this. I had no interest, listen very carefully, I had no interest in talking to anyone. I had no desire to share my faith. I wasn't mad at anybody, I just didn't feel like it. Amen? Sat down. We take off, and this guy says to me, what do you do for a living? Oh, I said, Why? And he said, I don't know. He said, I'm always interested in what folks do for a living. I said, I'm a preacher. He said, like a guy goes to churches and preach? I said, yeah. And he said, huh? He said, what are you doing in Korea? I said, I preached a whole week of meetings there. Oh. He said, I don't have any religion. He said, my wife isn't religious. She's Korean. He said, I'm not Korean. He said, well, I'm Korean, but I wasn't born in Korea. I was born in Texas. And I said, really? I said, what did you do in Texas? He said, I own a big business. I said, why are you in Korea? He said, I brought my wife here to see her folks. Where's your wife? She's staying here. I'm going back to Texas. I said, is there a problem? He said, yeah, the business. Got a couple of big business things we have to close, and I really need to be there for this. So he said, I'm flying back. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I've got to fly back. And he said, then I'll come back, and I'll spend the next 2 weeks with my wife and her family. I said, that's wonderful. I said, that's good. So I tried to close my eyes. And he said, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. What is it? He said, do you think religion would be important for a man that's got small children? He said, I don't have any religion. He said, I know it would look good on a resume. And he said, but it would be exceptionally good for your family. He said, why would it be good? So I began to tell him. And then he said, can I ask you another question? He said, yeah. I said, yeah. And he said, will this change my life? Because he said, I've got some big time things that need to change in my life. I said, it will. And now, about that time, we've been talking for about 45 minutes or an hour. The stewardess came up and stood right behind my chair and was kind of leaning over, listening to this whole conversation. There were 2-3 people that stood up, and they moved over by her, and they were listening to the conversation. Now we got a whole crowd of people standing in the hall in that hallway listening to my conversation that I didn't want to have because I was tired. I wanted to be left alone. And the more I talked, the more eager this man was to hear. It was just phenomenal. He asked question after question. And then he asked the big-time question. Now we've been in about 2 hours. It was about a 2.5-hour flight back to Guam. And the guy comes on the thing and says, please prepare the cabin for our arrival, blah, 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 blah. So nobody moved. The students didn't move. Nobody moved. And he said, can I know that for sure in my heart? I said, yes. How? I told him. And he said, can I do that now? I said, you can. He said, can I do it right here, right now? I said, you can. He stood up, got out of his chair, turned around, and knelt by his chair. He bowed his head, and in the neatest prayer I've ever heard, he just asked Jesus to save him. And he said, so I'm okay now. I said, you're okay now. He sat back down. We landed. Before we left, he said, is there a church I can go to? Do you know many in Texas? I said, I do. He said, we're coming back. Going to spend 2 weeks in Guam. Is there one in Guam? And, of course, my son's church. And I started to say something that the flight attendant says, I know a great church. You know, what this man just told you is absolutely truth. I made that same decision. She went on and on and on. And these other three people standing around, they said, yeah, we're from Guam. We all been saved. We know what it's like. Boy, it's good to hear the story. Man, it was wonderful. And they tell him about the church. I mean, he had three or four people. He went to church. I'm still on occasional contact with him. Name's Jack. We still write. He's in church. Wife's been saved. Kids are going to Sunday school. Now, wait a minute. I didn't plan any of that. Yeah. I didn't have any desire to do it. I was the last guy that, from all vantage points, God should have used. He should have just pushed me out of the plane and let me fall. But he didn't do that. He knew what I did not know. He knew that that man had an incredible need. And by a supernatural work of God, and this is absolutely essence to what I'm saying, by the supernatural work of God, he provided a divine appointment for me and used that divine appointment to bring this man to Jesus Christ. That's never happened to me like that, ever. But it happened. As sure as you're sitting where you're sitting, it happened. My wife sat next to me and listened to the whole thing. The point I'm making is this, folks. There's a message. We get bogged down with the why, the wherefore, and the what if. And so it frustrates us, and we get discouraged, we don't go, we don't share. But if you will simply just open yourself to God's moving, God will give you divine appointments, supernaturally worked out by him. And it'll just open up. You'll be able to share the faith. It won't be contrived. It will be absolutely of God. And our viewpoint of the gospel will change. And for a church like this, we need that change. We need to grasp the thought that rather than us plan a bunch of different days to go out and do that kind of thing, just go. You go shopping, you go to the mall on occasion, you go out to eat, you fill your gas tank with gas. I mean, you think about it. God can pick any time. He's not bound by space and time. He can pick any time. And he can set down on that, and you will drive up, and you will be the person that God will say, here it is. I won't speak those words to you, but the guy's filling his gas tank, come over and say, what do you think about these discounts you can get when you buy a bunch of groceries? Oh, I think it's a good deal. You know, you got to buy $2,000 worth of groceries, you get a nickel off your gas. So. But you buy $25,000 worth, you can get up to maybe 50 cents. But I don't know what the window of opportunity is going to be. I don't know who's going to open the window, how the window will be open to you. God will open the window. I don't know how the window will be open to you, but I do know. I have absolutely changed my philosophy about this. And I firmly believe that God will give us divine appointments that will change our viewpoint and will change our attitude. And rather than be a performance-bound Christian who just does and does and does and hopes that God's mercy will be better for you and that God's love will be more for you, we change to a love-bound Christian who does it simply because they love God. Divine appointment. Simple. Great stuff. And everybody here can do this. You just got to show up. You don't have to plan anything. You don't have to work on anything. You don't have to read 100 stories. You just show up. And I believe that God will send each of our ways a divine appointment. Now listen to me. What if that only happens once a year? There's 50 people here today, or 40 people here today. That'd be 40 more, amen? And it's not about the numbers. It's not about how many. It's not how many doors you knock on. It's none of that stuff. It's just being available for God's divine appointment. Lord, help us to love you and make ourselves available for this incredible opportunity that you have for each one of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.